Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Methodist, Prophet, Apostolic Secretary of Congregation, I'm not the Prophet, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 13, 2020. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, A Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, thou swayest mine, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of love, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, with his goodness lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Kingdom of Heaven likened unto 10 virgins, taken from 11 symbolic code number 12. And first, let's read down Isaiah 24, the whole 24th chapter. I mean, Matthew 24, as our prayer thought chapter. I was given this the other day, and the Heavenly Father told me that I was to do number 25. A subject on Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins. We may not read all of Matthew 24, but we'll read what we're impressed to read here. We're dealing with as it was in the days of Noah. We'll find out something very interesting here. But Matthew 24 deals with as it was in the days of Noah. Noah had 120 years. And Yahshua is the one that chose Noah to head up that generation. And he had 120 years. And Noah had the... He had the fourth movement in his day, before the flood. And of the antediluvian world, it had four movements. Adam had the first two movements. The first movement, Adam was perfect in the Garden of Eden. And Adam's second movement was when he was driven outside of the Garden of Eden. Adam had the first three parabolic hours in the Garden of Eden. He had the second three parabolic hours outside of the Garden of Eden. So his first three parabolic hours was from 1 to 4. And from his second three parabolic hours, his was 4th, 5th, and 6th hour, parabolic hour. So Adam had the first 6 parabolic hours. He had the first two movements. Enoch had the number 3 movement. And he was number 7, and he was called to begin the 7th hour. What I mean is he was the 7th generation. And so consequently, Enoch was called to operate at the beginning of the 7th parabolic hour and the 7th generation with the 3rd movement of the antediluvian world. And Enoch taught the second coming of Yahshua, the 10,000s of his angels. You will read all about it in the book of Jude. The last chapter, there was only one chapter before Revelation. The last book before Revelation. Read about the account there. And then he operated those 3 hours. He operated the 7th, 8th, and the 9th hour. Just like William Miller did. William Miller operated the 7th, 8th, and 9th parabolic hour. And then Ellen G. White, with the 4th movement, operated in the 10th and the 11th parabolic hour. Ellen G. White only had the 10th hour herself. Not all of it, part of it. And she shared the 10th hour with B.T. Hodder and Ben Roden. Three prophetic leaders in the 10th hour. Willis Johnson was prepared in the 10th hour with those 3 prophetic leaders. More notably, B.T. Hodder and Ben Roden. But then he was appointed the 11th parabolic hour that began in 1970, still part of the 4th movement and the 4th group of laborers. Okay, all that commentary that I just gave you is taken from the thought of, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man. We know that Ellen G. White had, the Adventists had the antitypical Noah's time, a 3 40-year periods, so to speak, like they had the antitypical 3 40-year periods of Moses that run parallel with the 120 years of Noah. And Moses starting in the palace of the king. He served 3 40-year periods, one independently of the other. Noah run 3 40-year periods concurrently. Okay. Noah was a righteous man from the beginning, and Moses was a righteous man from the beginning as well. Having said all that, now let's go to Matthew 24. And when Yahshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Yahshua said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Yahshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And that's what you have today, all over the world. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and you have that also all over the world. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and unto them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world unto this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Yahshua, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false messiahs, false prophets, and shall show great signs, and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, we think when we read that verse, for as the lightning, L-I-G-H-T-N-I-N-G, cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, we think in terms of lightning and the clouds of storm. But you know what? That's not what that means at all. It means, for as the sun coming up in the east and shineth light perpetually across the sky, as it makes its journey across your day, that's what it means. It comes up in the east and it goes down in the west. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now what does that mean? Carcass is talking about Yahshua and his crucifixion. Eagles talking about this last stage of kingdom in the 12th parabolic hour, that will be kings of the air, of the airways. In other words, they're going to take the gospel to all the world by the airways. And I literally mean by the airways, flying saucers. It's what's going to be used to carry this everlasting gospel to all the nations. So when it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations for witness, then shall the end come," you're going to have to wait until you see those flying saucers appear. Because by the time the outpouring of the Holy Spirit takes place, you're going to also have the four winds of strife let loose simultaneously at the same time. Meaning the terror of the nations are unleashed on all the world by the beast. And he is not going to allow any free travel of people that oppose him religiously. So, that puts an end to the idea that we Christians are going to evangelize the whole world by using their transportation mode. Not hardly. No, that's not going to happen. Immediately after tribulation, those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the heaven with power and great glory. Now, you know, isn't this amazing? When they see the Son of Man coming, that he's going to be coming in a cloud that's unfolding itself. And it says so there in the prophecy of Ezekiel 1:26. It says so. It says that he's sitting upon a cloud in a chariot. It has a description of a chariot there. And we might look at that a minute. Okay, let's see if I can get there to it. It says that, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it, upon it. And somewhere over here in page verse 20. Wheresoever the spirit was to go, they went thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. What wheels? You have a flying saucer that has a gyroscope in it. It's got a wheel within a wheel. The wheel inside turns in the opposite of the direction of the other wheel that's turned the other way. And you have a centrifugal force created there that defies gravity, and that's what it's designed for. So this is a kind of flying saucer that, and it says in verse 16 of Ezekiel 1, and the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, and they four had one lighter, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Okay, so a flying saucer is round, it's shaped like a wheel, and then there's a wheel in the middle of it called a gyroscope, and it goes in an opposite direction of the other wheel that is within. So apparently, the flying saucer has inside of it a stationary throne, and you have these two wheels that operate the flying saucer, guiding it wherever it needs to go in any direction at any second. And so you have the man sitting on the throne, no doubt. Someone is the pilot of that ship. So then that ship is guided by the unseen hand. That's how we're going to be carrying the gospel and those kind of ships. Alright, immediately after tribulation, every day shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, 1780 produced the dark day. Okay, and the blood moon. 1833 produced the falling of the stars. Okay, fulfilling this prophecy that I just read to you. And also the darkening of the sun, and in 1780 the blood moon and so forth. Verse 30, Matthew 24. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the sound, a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven unto the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know as summer is now. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now what did Matthew mean by that when he says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man? Now, Matthew was talking, he was saying this 2,000 years ago. He was talking to the people that were sitting there listening to him before bring forth this prophecy. And he was telling them, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Oh, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, you see, Matthew says, not even the angels of heaven. I don't agree with that. Because Yahshua has the identity of one of those angels in heaven. He's an angel described here on earth as a messenger that is sent with a message, for instance, to the house of David there in Zechariah 12:8. He went as an angel of Yahweh before them down in Egypt in that cloud by day. He was that rock in the cloud as an angel before them. Three men come down the road one day, and Abraham went out to meet them and saluted them and bowed down to them and called them my masters. And one of them was an angel. All three of them were angels. One of them was Yahshua. No doubt the other was the Father. So these deities, the Father and the Son, they can transform themselves into whatever they need to be to camouflage themselves so that they can carry out a mission like a clandestine operation here on earth that only the wise and the prudent and the righteous can see, and those that are wise in their own conceit don't have a clue what's going on. To them it's just three strange men walking down the road. Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taking the other left. Meaning everything is going on as business as usual, with business as usual. You know, everybody doing his, whatever his talent and trade calls for. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your master does come. So he says, in other words, how are you going to watch? You're going to stay up with present truth every day as it unfolds. You're going to believe his prophets, so shall you prosper there. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Or is it 1 Chronicles 20:20? I can't remember altogether. But anyway, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known and watched, the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Okay, now, it's given us a, this here, who then is a faithful and wise servant? It's talking about Luke 12:42, and it's got an Acts 20:28, 1 Corinthians 4:2, and Hebrews 3:5. So it says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? Now, it's asking the question, who then is this faithful and wise servant whom his master hath, past tense, hath made ruler over his household? Now, he's made one of these two servants ruler over his household to give meat in due season. We know that that mantle fell on Brother Johnson in 1970, for indeed, for the first time since 1844, the Adventists were given fresh provender every day. If they wanted to avail themselves of it, it was there made available by Brother W. Johnson. Meat in due season. Every Passover and every Pentecost and every Atonement, Brother Johnson was there giving fresh truths emanating from the law of Moses concerning these subjects, that what takes place at these important holy days of the year. And all you got to do is go back to the law of Moses and the book of Moses, the first 5 books, and you can read all about what took place all during the calendar year of 365 days, what took place on all the Sabbath days back then, and all the new moon, and all your annual holy days, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles, and Day of Atonement, and all of that. So this is, this wise servant says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Do I have one that will teach those things that was taught in the law of Moses pertaining to my government and the sanctuary system that is now set up and put into full operation? Brother Johnson was this faithful and wise servant that was standing in his place when the Yeshua came and asked, which one of you is a faithful and wise servant? And he asked that question between Ben Roden and Brother Johnson, and Brother Johnson raised his hand. He said, I'm the faithful and wise one. This man, Ben Roden, my predecessor and my spiritual brother, we have been working together since 1946, for the last 24 years, has lifted up his heel against me. I know, because he refuses to accept this unrolling of the scroll of the fulfillment of the restoration of all divine institutions and all the holy feast days, as prophesied in Prophets and Kings, page 725, by Ellen G. White. Yes, I'm that faithful and wise servant, because I'm doing all these things and he is against it. So yes, I'm the one. So Yahshua said, okay, I'll make you ruler over all my goods then. So Brother Johnson, he got the lot fell on him. And so Yahshua made him ruler over all his goods, and then Yahshua got in his flying saucer and went back to heaven. And he left Brother Johnson with his spirit, like he did Solomon in the days of David. When Solomon was anointed king of Israel and dedicated the house, with all those animal sacrifices, the people coming in from all over the then known world, all the 127 provinces. He dedicated the house, and so he was the one that Yahshua made ruler over all his goods. Well, he did that way with all down through the ages. He made Peter ruler over all of his goods. He made Paul associate ruler over all of his goods with Peter. He made Martin Luther a ruler over all of his goods. 1500, he made John Knox ruler over all of his goods. 1543, the Holy Spirit. He made John Wesley, the Baptist, the Methodist minister, leader. Made him ruler over all of his goods during the Dark Ages. And then there were Alexander Campbell and the Baptist Church. He made him ruler over all of his goods in 1810. And he made William Miller ruler over all of his goods from 1833 to 1844. Put him in charge of all his goods. And then he put Ellen G. White in charge of all of his goods 1844 until she died in 1915. And he put his government in a caretaker's government for 15 years. And then he raised up V.P. Hoddup in 1930, made him ruler over all of his goods. V.P. Hoddup died and wrote inherited. The goods, to be ruler over all of his goods. Then Roden's time is up, Brother Johnson inherited ruler over all of his goods. Brother Johnson's time is up in 2003. He made Elijah David ruler over all of his goods. He just had Purim simple. All the way from Moses coming out of Egypt. It's no secret who he made ruler over all of his goods all through the ages. It's in prophecy. These are prophetic characters, preordained for these positions. Good or bad, they're preordained for them. So it says here in Matthew 24:46, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods, and the 12th periodic hour. And from this point on, it carried down to the end of probation. That's what this prophecy, that's where it's meeting its fulfillment right now. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and eat and drink with the drunken, the master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this prophecy made its fulfillment not only with Brother W. Johnson 2002, but it made its fulfillment with the Rod period 1930-1970. Yahshua had to come and remove his candlestick from Ben Roden so that it would forever remove the Rod period out of off of the landscape. He had to come and remove the Seventh-day Adventist candlestick in 1930 to remove them off of the prophetic landscape. But their spirit and their influence remain and their buildings remain. But in the books of records in heaven, they came to their end. All right, now let's go ahead with Matthew 25. We just finished Matthew 24. And in Matthew 25, B.T. Hoddup, he deals with that here in 11 Symbolic Code number 12. And we're going to forego the prayer thought, which we'll get right on into the study. B.T. Hoddup goes into Matthew 24:42-43, explaining that as he leads into Matthew 25 with his study. So let us do the same thing. Matthew 24:42-43. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your master doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. These verses convey the idea that no one knows the day and the hour of the Yahshua's coming, and therefore Yahshua admonishes his people to be ready at all the time. Then he draws the illustration that if a certain one knew that a thief would attempt to break into his house at a certain time, he would certainly watch for him. But the fact is that no one knows exactly when a thief will enter. And so Rhoda Johnson, he had that happen to him at Kermit. And the thief came at the sacred hour. He came at the 2 o'clock hour. Brother Johnson left his home to go to the church at the 2 o'clock hour, and he left it unlocked. The thief was watching across the street, and then as Brother Johnson drove off, he walked in and went in and helped himself to all the money he could find hidden around. And the rest is history. Matthew 24:44-45. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? This implies that there are certain conditions which must be met by those who would be called faithful and wise servants. They must be giving meat in due season. Well, then, Brother Johnson, that wasn't hard then to go for Yahshua to come on the scene in 2002 and reckon with him. It wasn't hard for him to do that because he'd been keeping a good record of him for 32 years there, and he realized that Brother Johnson's record didn't add up. He said, well, this man is not faithful. This servant has not been faithful, just like he did with Ben Roden. When he checked Ben Roden's record in 1970, when his time was up, he said, "Well, this man can't continue on. He don't have a faithful record." Okay. So likewise with Rhoda Johnson, two servants in a row had to be visited, had to have their leadership taken away and be reckoned with. So it says, we as a denomination of Seventh-day Adventists should be able to reason out the lesson that is in these verses. According to verse 45, Yahshua has made someone ruler over his household. Who would that be in Elohim's church and the denomination? We are to attach this to someone. It would necessary to be attached to the president of the general conference. And as we had new light break forth in our last study, that the president of the general conference, he should have also that name Balak, meaning he's a deity, not just an inspired officer that has the number one position as president over the Seventh-day Adventists, but he is also a revered, he's referenced as a deity because Adventists will take his word any day over Yahweh's word in the Bible. If the General Conference President interprets a certain thing of doctrine to the Adventist Church, they'll say, well, they'll take his interpretation and they'll forego Yahweh's interpretation. That constitutes exalting your throne above the throne of Yahweh as a deity, just like the Yahweh is. So this is what every head of the congregation has done, and in essence, that's what B.T. Hodges did when he started interpreting the prophecies of that 144,000 that it was time for them to come forth, and he went and built an amphitheater, and he made provisions for that to happen. And by 1950, he had it built, and he had it ready and set up. But he couldn't go to the prophecies and back it up. He couldn't back up what he was doing by the prophecies, type and antitype, the very thing he said, you have to have or you don't have no truth. He couldn't do that. But nevertheless, he did it anyway. So what was he doing? He was making the proclamation, and he was asking Yahweh to honor his proclamation no matter what. To honor it, and Yahweh would not honor it. He would not honor it showing that Vrityahara has set himself up as a deity, just like Yahweh. He didn't do it intentionally, but he did it because of his way of thinking, that it's time for this and it's time for that, but he don't have no prophecy timeline or guidelines. He don't have no particular type to show this. But nevertheless, he says it's time anyway. But yet he can't go to prophecies and produce the parallels, the type and antitype, and say, well, if this happened in a type here at this hour, and this is supposed to happen in the antitype, what Brutus Johnson did in 74, and he said Kingdom 74 in 1972. He set a timeline. But he didn't have no guideline. He didn't have no prophecy timeline for that. He didn't have no type for it. But he did it anyway. Showing that these people have set themselves up as deities. And I know Brother Johnson did, because he said his wife is perfect. And she was at the time was deemed by everybody in the church, even her own son and daughter-in-law and his family, his own children, said that the mother was a pathological liar. Everybody knows that, they said. And Brother Johnson turned to me and said, she's the most perfect person I ever met. And he wanted me to acquiesce to one of the lies she made upon me and say it was the truth. I defied him three times in a row on that. He never came back no more after the third time. And I told him, I said, your wife's a pathological liar. And I said, the church knows it, and I've heard it out of their own mouth. They believe it, and you're going to sit there and tell me she's the most perfect person you ever met? And she's right the opposite of anybody that's perfect. Because she's exalted herself as a deity, as a goddess, in the heavens. Like Semiramis was made a goddess in the heavens. But L.G. Wright, I mean, Laura Mae Johnson was made a goddess in the heavens. And Brother Johnson's his mind was warped enough and brainwashed enough that he believed that and accepted that. So what does that make Brother Johnson? It makes him a deity also. Makes him equal with his wife. And that's the reason why they're where they're at today, and that's the reason why where we're at today ourselves. Okay, we're getting along pretty good here. It says, if we are to attach this to someone, talking about this, who would that be in the Yahweh's church in the denomination? Okay, let's read that again. Blessed is that servant whom his master, whom his coming shall find and so doing. So if you were to ask the Adventists, if Yahshua was appearing unto them, who is this faithful servant? They say, oh, the General Conference President, of course, we elected him. All the officers of the General Conference elected him. Oh, yes, he would be this faithful servant. That's how they'd answer Yahshua. And Vrityahara knows this, and that's when he wrote this. We, as a denomination, as at the Seventh-day Adventist, should be able to reason out the lesson that is in these verses. According to verse 45, Yahshua hath made someone ruler over his household. Who would that be in Elohim's church, in the denomination? If we are attached, we were to attach, or if we are to attach this to someone, it would necessarily be attached to the president of the General Conference, who has all the work, and of course, since his responsibility is spread throughout the churches and shared by the ministry whom he directs, it follows that they all are included in what Yahshua is saying here. That is the only thing that it could be. Now what if Yahshua was to come to the Davidians when Vrityahara was alive? Say, in 1950 when Vrityahara was making those elaborate preparations and plans for having this greatest meeting of all time, and that's bringing forth 144,000 at the old Mount Carmel. What if Yahshua had appeared before that time and asked the congregation, who would you say is this faithful and right servant? They would all, with one course, say, well, Vrityahara, he's this faithful and right servant. What if they were to come to the Roden Knights in 1970, and Ben Roden had himself anointed as King David upon his throne, and typical King David, And of course, Yahshua had to come and said, "Who is my faithful servant here?" They would all point to Ben Rhodes. And, well, he's our faithful servant. He's a faithful servant in Matthew 24:45. Well, if they would have come in 2002, which we had that event take place, and asked the congregation there, "Who is your faithful servant here?" Since there are two vying for the leadership, because in the Rhodes day, there was two vying for the leadership there also, Brother Johnson and Ben Rhodes. And when B.T. Hall was alive, it was Ben Rhodes and B.T. Hall vying for the leadership. B.T. Hall didn't know it, but Ben Rhodes knew it. So you've always had two servants there in the church vying for the leadership. And Ellen G. White's day, it was the General Conference president vying for the leadership. And before the General Conference, it was Uriah Smith vying for the leadership against Ellen G. White. And if you were to ask those that were following each one of those servants who's a faithful servant, they would all hold up the hands of the one that they were following. Just that pure and simple. So likewise, in 2002, they said, "Brother Johnson is a faithful and wise servant. He's the only prophet I know in this church," his son said. And yet his son believed that the mother was a pathological liar and the father was covering for her. And yet he's the only prophet I know of in this church. All right, Matthew 24:45. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Should not meat in due season be a message from Elohim especially addressed unto his people and applicable at that time? Another name for meat in due season is present truth. So then, the servant is to give his household present truth." So, when Yahshua came and he got both of his servants together, vying for the leadership at Tumah Texas, July 14, 2002, he got all three of them together. The antitypical Semiramis, Lame Johnson, the goddess that had already exalted herself as a goddess in the heavens, and Rose Johnson as her faithful follower and believer, her co-partner in crime, and Yahshua got us all three together in one place. Captive audience, driving down the highway. I was driving the car, they couldn't go nowhere. All they could do was sit there and listen to me. They couldn't do nothing. One was in the back seat, and the other was in the front seat with a broken hip. They couldn't do nothing. They were captive. Yahshua gave me a message from heaven. He said, "Now give this to them." And I give it that to them while we were driving down the highway. They couldn't do nothing but just sit there and listen. They didn't like it, but they didn't have any other choice. Matthew 24:46. "Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing." If our application is now right, that this is speaking to the denomination that the Seventh-day Adventist Church, just prior to Yahshua's coming, and Yahshua came for the third time at Tumah Texas 2002 at the Passover, invisibly, but he came to the spiritual house of Israel. First he came to Ellen G. White, then he came to B.T. Hall this time, and then he came to Brother Stephen Johnson, 1970, Gilead Center's time. He came at the beginning of each step of the movement. He came and appointed his servant ruler over his candlestick. And then he left and went back to heaven. He did that three times. 1844 up to 2002 was his fourth visit to the earth to change the guard and place in charge of his candlestick. In this case, it was closing out the seventh candlestick with Brother Johnson and opening up the tenth candlestick with Elijah David. That was your number four. Matthew 24:47. "Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." This verse implies that Elohim has not as yet made his servant ruler over all his goods. But when he proves true by attending to his business of faithfully giving to his household meat in due season, until the Yeshua comes, and then I'm going to add my part here, in the clouds of glory, fulfilling Matthew 25:31-32. And then Elohim is going to make him ruler over all his goods. That is the promise, Matthew 24:48-50. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. If no one is to know the day and hour until Yeshua comes, then how could this servant be aware of the day and the hour? Do you see? That one statement seems to contradict the other. No one knows the hour, the day, therefore Elohim's people must be ready for the event to occur at almost any time, and if a servant does not faithfully perform his duties, then when the Yeshua is about to come, that servant will not be aware of it. Is that not how you understand these two statements? Up to a certain time, Elohim's people do not know the day and the hour, but if they continue to receive meat in due season, a day will come when this servant is going to be made aware of that hour of that day. For the illustration was not given to us alone, but to all of Elohim's people ever since it was written. And they were warned to be ready all the time because no one knew the day and the hour of his coming. But as the truth progresses and the word of Elohim unrolls, Elohim's servants in the end are to be aware of the day and the hour. I've been an Adventist, born in the Adventist Church, 1938. From the time that I could understand anything, the first thing I was able to understand was that Jesus could come anytime soon. Jesus is coming again real soon. I heard that for the first 32 years I was in the Adventist Church. And then I heard that for the next 32 years with Rutherford W. Johnson. Keep in mind, I was in Adventist Church 32 years, and I was with Rutherford W. Johnson 32 years. And both of them were Seventh-day Adventist churches. 64 years I was in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that's all I heard. Well, Jesus is coming soon, and Rutherford Johnson set the time more closely than anybody. Does it not say that? That is just what it does say. But what is the danger here? What caused the servant to begin to eat and drink with the drunken? They said, the master delayeth his coming. Well, Brother Johnson said in 2002, when it didn't turn out the way he prophesied, he said, well, this wasn't a year after all. And it was a year. Yeshua did come like Brother Johnson prophesied. He did accomplish the work he came to do, and Brother Johnson knew it not. There were only two occasions in all the church history that man complained that the Yeshua delayed his coming. They were the first and early Christians who had expected Yeshua to come immediately. They thought surely it would not be very long before the Yeshua would come in the like manner as he had gone up. But lo, almost 2,000 years have passed since the promise was given, and Yeshua has not come yet, so there was a chance for the early Christians to complain that the Yeshua had delayed his coming. We are not dealing with the disappointment at the commencement of the apostolic congregation, church. Rather, we are speaking of the time when the Yeshua is ready to come in the time of the end, you know, that there was a people on the end of the church's history who also expected the Yeshua to come long before now. I suppose you would say they were the Millerites. But to this I cannot agree, because there was no delay for them. They had set the day for Yeshua coming, and the outcome for them was not a delay, but a bitter disappointment. Seventh-day Adventists, though, since 1844 believed that in their lifetime, in their generation, Yahshua would come and take them to heaven. You that have been Seventh-day Adventists for a long time or even for a short time know that it was their expectation. Instead, however, many of them are in their graves today. Exactly what I just got to illustrate to you a few moments earlier. In the early days, our churches used to have a sign hanging inside reading thus, "The gospel preached to all the world in this generation." Those signs have long since been taken down. 100 years ago, everybody who knew Adventists knew what were our expectations, but it is not the case today. I can also recall that after I became a Seventh-day Adventist, I heard the brethren say that the Yahshua will come almost momentarily, but the Yahshua has not come yet. They erroneously concluded that the Yahshua would come in a few years, but it was to their detriment. But when the time passed, they became careless. We see then that according to our earlier expectations as the Advent, Yahshua apparently had delayed his coming. And inasmuch as no other people in all the Christian world ever expected Yahshua to come as the Adventists did, even this lesson is applicable only unto us. Well, Yahshua, B.T. Holly predicted Yahshua would come at the Pentecost there in 1950, set up to 144,000. He made a preparation for it. It didn't happen. He was like William Miller. He suffered a great disappointment. Willis Johnson suffered a disappointment in 1974. We all did together because he did the same thing. Moreover, when at first Elohim's people expected Yahshua to come soon, they all seemed to conform to the diet regulations which were given to the church to keep them apart from the world. But when Yahshua's people thought that the Yahshua had delayed his coming, what did they do? The majority laid aside their Adventist habits of eating and living. They seem not to have understood that their prescribed mode of living as Elohim had enjoined upon them was not limited by any certain time, but it was to be binding upon them until the Yahshua come. What will the Yahshua do about those who became careless because they thought the Yahshua delayed his coming? Let us read Matthew 24:48-51. But and if that evil servant, Brother W. Johnson, the last one in charge of the candlestick of Letter 6, Kermit, Texas, 2002, shall say in his heart, "My master delayed his coming," and he certainly did. After the Passover, and it didn't turn out the way Brother Johnson said, he said, "Well, this wasn't the year after all." And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This brings in our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour calling at number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Work for the night is coming. Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hour. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flower. Work while the day grows brighter. Under the glowing sun, look for the night is coming when man's work is done. Look for the night is coming, work through the sunny noon, fill brighter hours with labor. Rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Look for the night is coming when man works no more. Look for the night is coming under the sunset sky. While their battens are glowing, work for daylight fly. Work till the last been faded, faded to shine no more.